Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Oh, you're on the East Coast. We'll do a show here. Fine. We'll do a show.
Bring the damn bell.
I don't have a bell on this computer.
Hey, bell.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Bitch.
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 It's late, so I will forego the entire show opening for the wrestling realist Patrick O'Dowd because it's 10:30. He's a grown ass man with a child and work and life.
Sleep matters. I just can't do it anymore, man.
Sleep matters, dude. Sleep. I went to bed early last night. Sleep matters.
I for the first time since I started working for the University of Massachusetts. Everybody knows I work for the University of Massachusetts. Not adding anything there. I had a full Labor Day weekend where, like, I got the Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and in my infinite wisdom, I decided Sunday night to go hang out with one of my buddies who I hadn't seen in about a month. His buddy I went to see the Metallica concert with, and went to this bar/club that, like, last call was like 1:30, 2 a.m. And I just remember as I'm sitting there amongst all these people who are significantly younger than me and look like they're on their third wind and are not ending. And I'm just like, man, I can't do this. This is not who I am anymore. When I stay up till 1:30 in the morning, I want to be on a couch falling asleep in front of some shitty movie on Showtime. Like, that's the man I've become. And I'm okay with that.
That's amazing. That's there's nothing wrong with that at all.
I had a good time, though. I had a good time with my buddy Ryan. Ryan, good. Great hanging out with you. Good times. Too fucking late, though.
It happens.
Late. Too fucking late. Ain't nobody got time for that.
It's going to happen in November when you come out here. So,
And I'll be prepared for that. Like, vacation, Patrick will be fully engaged. We'll have a good time.
When I say in November, just to, you know, got to promote, right? Promoters promote.
Yeah, do your thing.
Shooters got to shoot. Since our last show 3 weeks ago, we missed 3 weeks. So technically it was 4 weeks ago that the last podcast took place. We have had yet another IZW event has taken place. Hugely successful, Psycho Circus 2. To the point now where Psycho Circus, this is breaking news for anyone local listening, that we finally had to take the plunge and make Psycho Circus a yearly event. So we now have 2 yearly events with Monster in February and Psycho Circus in August. But people suggested Psycho Circus be a yearly event after the first one. I said no, and now here we are. So, yeah. That's what it is. But we highly successful, huge crowd, biggest crowd we've ever had. We technically sold out about an hour before doors opened and then had people that wanted to walk up. So we found places for them. But yeah, great, great show, great event. Everything was – we had a hair versus hair match between a wrestler and a referee. I mean, come on. Like, it doesn't get any more pro wrestling than a hair versus hair match where a referee beats a wrestler. Like we are Memphis revitalized in Arizona. Like, that's what IZW is in a lot of ways. It is old school meets new school and so much of what we do. It's got, you know, something for everybody. It's just the way that wrestling should be, in my opinion. So that's what we do. But we are on to the next, as Bill Belichick would say. And our next, well, we have one in October. That's a free show, Cool Town Clash 4 in Coolidge, Arizona, as part of the Coolidge Days Festival. But November 16th, IZW looks that kill, featuring current TNA World Champion Nick Nemeth, formerly Dolph Ziggler of WWE fame, one of the most decorated wrestlers in WWE history, including being a former two-time World Champion in WWE, Money in the Bank briefcase holder, and so much more. He is wrestling. We actually did reveal that he will be challenging for the IZW Heavyweight Championship in a Fatal 4-Way. We don't really call it a Fatal 4-Way. We just call it a 4-Way match. He will be challenging the IZW Heavyweight Champion, Evan Main Event Daniels. He's main event longer than main event Jey Uso was main event. We also have Thugnificent and the Emperor, the longest reigning IZW champion of all time, Thugnificent, and the Emperor Bryce Saturn, one of the hottest young talents on the West Coast. All will be in that four-way match, including Nick Nemeth and so much more. So very excited about what we're going to be doing at IZW Looks That Kill. Just even down to the freaking marketing graphics. Like, those things look amazing. And I say that as the person who made them. Easily my best work, like, by far. Like, it's just, I know my wheelhouse and I stick to it. That's why it works well. Like, I don't get too complicated. So, a little splash of color, a little black and white on the wrestlers, and we're fine. So, yeah, it looks good. But very excited about that. Grab your tickets, IZWTix.com. And, hey, as a special perk, you might get to meet Patrick O'Dowd, because he's going to be there as he is making the trip out. So I'll make Patrick O'Dowd a graphic, right? Appearing live, the wrestling realist Patrick O'Dowd.
There you go. Excited for it.
And there could be other wrestling dignitaries who are going to be there. Old school Greg DeMarco show fans. We're going way back, way, way back when we used to have the little post show after it was too late for Patrick and he would go to bed. And we would have that midnight hour with Tony Acero and Heather Lynn. Tony might come. Heather is coming. She lives in Orlando. She's flying out for this event as well. We've got so many more people coming. We actually have a wrestler flying out from Orlando, too, that hasn't been announced yet.
Oh.
And so someone that some people will recognize, not everybody, but she's making the trip out as well. So, yeah, we've got it's just going to be fun and very excited. The last IZW event of the year, because we don't run December and January because of the holidays. So I'm very excited about that. As then we roll into 2025, which is going to be a big year for us and a lot of great things in store, a lot of great things planned. So we'll talk more about that in the coming weeks and the different matches that are part of it. But grab your tickets, IZWTix.com. It's going to be a big one. And of course, it's the first appearance of Nick Nemeth in Arizona, which is where he lives. He lives here in Arizona since leaving WWE. So he's wrestled all over the world and all over the country, but not here in Arizona since leaving WWE. But he will be doing a signing earlier that day at 3D Sports Cards and Collectibles from 1 to 3. You can get your tickets there at IZW Ticks as well, or through 3D Sports Cards. And then, of course, he'll be wrestling with us that night, too. And we've been making sure people know, like, he's wrestling. It's not this appearance thing. It's not whatever he's wrestling. So we're all very excited that Nick Nemeth is on board. And it'll be good. And, you know, Patrick O'Dowd, sometimes you just sit back when you're watching a hair versus hair match between a referee and a wrestler. And the moment that Miranda Morales said the following contest is scheduled for one fall and is a hair versus hair match, and the entire crowd lost their shit before anybody even came out, because we've been spending a year building up this match. Like, I just knew that those two were going to go out there and do something special, and they did. And I just stood there with this huge smile on my face, because one of the most rewarding parts about being a wrestling promoter, the crowds are great when the business is profitable and successful, that's great. But when you put something on paper and then it's even better in real life, like the talent takes it to a whole nother level, like, that's just amazing. And when you have that symbiotic relationship between idea and presentation, like, it's just so rewarding to see those guys do that. And to be able to do that for Scott Johnson, who's the referee, to give him that moment, because referees are really the unsung heroes in this business. And when the YouTube video is live of the whole match, you'll see, like, it ended up being an entire a win for all the stripes in the end, as they got to shave the head of Pete the Heat, and who had been terrorizing the referees going back to last year. So and it was really Scott pulled out the victory, and he got the 1, 2, 3 in the ring. But then all the referees, even the referees that were working security, got to be involved and be a part of the shaving of the head, too. So, yeah, Go out, get your tickets, icwtix.com. Patrick, you got to know match placement, too. That's a match you put on right before intermission. You can't put that match and have somebody try to follow that.
You got to follow that
cool moment. Yeah, you got to be smart with your match placement. I mean, this was a tough one, too. We had a ladder match, hair versus hair match, multiple title matches, a guy who was going to be announcing that he was heading off to Japan, so he had to vacate a title. Like, it's tough. It's tough mapping out a card sometimes.
Vacating a title?
He did, yeah. The IZW 3D Sports Fighting Champion, Jacob Austin Young, had to relinquish his championship as he actually, I believe, left this morning for his tour with New Japan. So he is the newest recruit of the United Empire in New Japan and might be back in time for November, but we don't know. And that was the thing, like his availability now has to be, you know, New Japan has to take that priority. And so he's, but well-deserved, such a talented athlete. Over a decade in the business that he's been wrestling, even more than that, I mean, probably 15 years in the business that he's been wrestling, and just a tremendous talent.
Maybe I'll see him on Access TV sometime.
You might. Are they still on Access TV? I don't even know. So,
he's back on Access TV. I get, you know, it's fun. I get to check out the show like
6 months after the fact.
A month to 6 months too late, but you know, I still, to me, that doesn't matter.
Right. Like, yeah, it's still new to you.
That, like, the other thing that's annoying is it's only an hour block, so it's never like an entire show. It's pieces of a show with maybe some highlights interspersed throughout. The exceptions being when they're stateside, you'll generally get the entire show when they go stateside.
Right.
And they'll have a couple matches. You'll get Wrestle Kingdom. You'll always get all of Wrestle Kingdom again in pieces.
Right.
You'll always get the end of the Super Junior tournament. Like, they always do that. And the, was it the New Japan Cup?
That's the one they do in the spring. Yeah, the New Japan Cup.
Yeah, they'll usually,
the G1's in the fall, New Japan Cup in the spring.
At least the show with the finals.
Right.
You'll get most of the show.
So here's what I have a New Japan take. Okay. I need to hit up Andrew Belaz for his opinion on my opinion.
Well,
I guess
he would know.
I'm glad that Zack Sabre Jr. won the G1. Like, I thought that was awesome that Zack Sabre Jr. gets to win the G1.
G1 climax. Yep.
I'm a little concerned that he's using his title shot in October instead of at Wrestle Kingdom. Like, why? Why would you pick a normal event versus the stadium event? I know you can say, I don't want to wait, I want my title shot, whatever. And then he doesn't have to defend it as many times. Who knows? But like, Wrestle Kingdom's the thing. Wrestle Kingdom's the event. Like, did we have a guy win the G1? We're not ready to push to the moon and not ready to have main event, the Tokyo Dome. Is there a larger plan in place? I don't know. Especially now with New Japan and the talent they lost to AEW, especially Okada, like, there's just so much. Like, what are we... I need to let it play out, obviously, but it's like, what are we doing? Because your guy wins the G. Maybe there's precedent. Maybe other people have taken their title shot not at Wrestle Kingdom, and I just don't know. Right. That's very possible, right? There's been, 30 G1s? And so, yeah, there haven't even been that many Wrestle Kingdoms. So who knows? And I could be totally wrong. And like I said, I can ask Mr. Belaz for his opinion on that. But I just found it weird when he was taking his title shot at King of Pro Wrestling, whatever it's called, in October instead of Wrestle Kingdom. Because I would want his moment. But maybe he'll walk into Wrestle Kingdom as champion and defend that title, and they'll have a different way of determining the challenger for Wrestle Kingdom. Who knows?
Yeah, that is odd and unconventional. Yeah, it's not the typical way.
Second half of my take, knowing what I know about Japanese wrestling and how they are about American talents, especially American talents that wrestle like that bigger, more powerful style or whatever. If I were New Japan and I had the rocket at my disposal, it would have been firmly attached to the back of Jeff Cobb. To me, seems perfect for that next guy in New Japan. Like, he loves New Japan. He doesn't even want to sign anywhere else. He would rather just work for Japan. And it fits him. He's a monster. He literally played a monster in Lucha Underground, like an actual murdering monster. But he, to me, he's just perfect for New Japan. And And he was ahead in the G1 for a while, and I was like, ooh, they're going to do it. And then, of course, they didn't. I don't think he made it to the semifinals. But it was to me, it's like, that should be your guy. And who knows? Like, their stories play out over seriously long periods of time, which I appreciate and do myself. But to me, he should be the guy. But it's just me. It's just one guy's opinion.
Yep.
That's who I would anoint as the next person if I were New Japan. But I'm not New Japan, so.
There you go.
Who knows?
Yeah, Jeff Cobb's a beast. He's a lot of fun to watch. It's New Japan's such an interesting watch right now. And of course, I'm not Andrew Blas, so I can't speak to it as wisely as he does. But it still feels like they're treading a lot of water there.
Agreed. You know what I mean? I don't know. I don't know if they're treading water because I don't know what they have planned.
Like 300-year-old Naito, and you remember how much I loved Naito like 7 years ago. Like he's, I don't know that he's the best thing they got going right now. When I watch him anyway, like when I watch it, like that's what I pay attention to. Zack Sabre Jr. is a lot of fun to watch. I enjoy him. I miss Sonata. But that's me. I don't have much more in depth to say than that. Every once in a while, Dean Ambrose shows up and that's boring, but you know, so you want to talk about wrestlers I'm tired of? I'm tired of hearing about Dean Ambrose.
Well, and you don't even hear about Dean Ambrose. You hear about John Moxley.
Oh, sorry, John Moxley.
I know.
John fucking Ambrose.
I don't even know. I got to go back. I got to bust out the old computer and get some of those sound bites.
You know what I meant.
Everyone thinks that his whole line to Tony Schiavone, this isn't your company anymore, which it never was, Tony. Is the real angle that he's back on the sauce and he's drunk and thinks that other people are the people? Like, he was also backstage with Marina Shafir. I'm like, did he think that's Rene Paquette? Like, I'm just really confused. I didn't watch the show before anybody yells at me, so I'm really being in jest right now. But right. Everyone thinks that this is not your company anymore line is leading to Shane McMahon coming into AEW. Because if you're going to bring Shane McMahon into AEW, of course you would pair him with John Moxley. Like, what else would you do? I don't know.
Right.
But actually, you know, there's an AEW wrestler that I want to talk about. I do have two topics planned for today.
That's good.
And so, and they're easy topics to talk about, and ones that some people will talk about, but maybe not the same way that we will. So let's go to commercial, and then we're going to come back and talk about our good friend Swerve.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, She feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey folks, PC Tony here. Thanks to our new partnership with Angry Lemonade, you can save 10% on physical products and digital commissions using the promo code CHAIRSHOT. Head to angrylemonade.net to check out their amazing catalog of products and services. Use the promo code CHAIRSHOT to save 10%. That's angrylemonade.net.
Bitch!
Bitch.
We are back. So I have a couple things I want to talk about today that are somewhat on the periphery, especially with the second one. That's the one that I texted you. But the first one came out a few days ago, August 30th. And you've even though I didn't send it to you, Patrick O'Dowd, I know you've heard it because it's the kind of thing that you can't avoid. It's that kind of wrestling news bite. And the headline's been all over the place, but I'm just going to read you from Cage Side Seats because that's where I'm looking at it right now. WWE allegedly believes Swerve Strickland's big new AEW deal is, quote-unquote, bad for the sport. Of course, this is coming from Dave Meltzer. He is saying that, you know, Swerve is now being compensated roughly the same level as Mercedes Moné and Kazuchika Okada, who will still make less than WWE's top stars like Roman Reigns, Cody Rhodes, and Randy Orton. They also made a large offer, apparently, to Daniel Garcia, and WWE are not happy about Swerve's extension or the offer made to Daniel Garcia because they view these offers as being bad for the sport because they were far over what WWE would perceive the market value for both to be, with the idea that Tony Khan spending more than he needs to and raising salaries. Now, I'm just going to dive right in. Normally, I get Patrick's opinion, but because there's one key out. No, I'm not going to dive right in because I feel like I'll blow this whole thing out of the water. Patrick O'Dowd, what are your thoughts about these contracts, the reporting of these contracts? It is coming from Dave Meltzer, who, at least on this website, no one believes, according to the comments that I was reading in the comment section. Yeah, what do you think about these contracts and the perception of these contracts for mainly for Swerve, but also Daniel Garcia? Swerve's the bigger star, so.
The WWE doesn't give a fuck how much money they're making in AEW. The WWE will make an offer for what they feel a talent is worth. If the talent doesn't want it and wants to take more money to a place that will pay them, they will wish them well and let them go. If the WWE really wants them, they'll fight for them and win it out. But do they think that Swerve Strickland's fucking up the market for wrestlers? No. It's stupid. It's just stupid. Dave, I'm returning this. This one, I'm not buying it. I'm returning this one. I don't want that one. I don't believe you, sir.
That was actually one of the first responses was the anchor man. I don't believe you GIF was one of the first responses to this article. It's okay. I like to look at wrestling news when I have a clear head on my shoulders, in multiple different ways. Where is the believability? Here's the believability, right? Look at the NFL. When Deshaun Watson signed his contract, everybody was like, what the fuck is Cleveland doing? Like, Cleveland does not know what they're doing. And other teams were like, that's an outlier. Don't think you're going to get compensated based on Deshaun Watson's deal, because you're not. And that's so there is that element of sports that trickles into this sometimes. Do I think WWE would keep tabs on contracts in AEW? I do, because they do need to offer their talent contracts. They do need to know what's out there. Could they believe that that's going to cause the market value to go up of contracts? Sure. That's utterly believable, right? That's where Dave Meltzer lives. He lives in the air of believability. Here's my problem, Patrick O'Dowd. Loyal listeners, everyone that this might reach here on September 3rd, 2024, since I haven't given the date yet. No one in Orlando, Florida, in Stamford, Connecticut, in New York, in the Las Vegas offices that they're currently probably going to have someday, would ever use the phrase bad for the sport. No one. And that phrase has been in every single article about this topic. And it's quoted. Now, in this article, it's Meltzer quoting it, but there's other ones where it's literally him quoting the WWE source as saying the phrase bad for the sport. 99% of the people in wrestling wouldn't use the phrase bad for the sport. You know who would use the phrase bad for the sport, Patrick O'Dowd? There's only one person I can think of that would use the phrase bad for the sport. It's the same motherfucker that keeps talking about contract tampering as if it were a thing in pro wrestling. And that's Tony Khan.
Tony Khan.
Tony Khan is the only person I could see actually uttering the phrase bad for the sport. So I'm not saying it was a direct quote from Tony Khan to Dave Meltzer, but to me, that's where it came from. Because at this point, I gotta believe Tony Khan understands there's no such thing as tampering in pro wrestling. Like, I gotta believe he's not that stupid. Like, I just don't think... I know it's fun to say he's dumb. I know it's fun to say he's a bad booker, he can't write wrestling, whatever. Oh. But I just think as a human being who's managed to, even if it's because of his family connections, have all the roles he has in the world of sports, I think he knows the difference between collectively bargained sports and pro wrestling to know that contract tampering isn't a thing. He's also smart enough to know that if he says it, many wrestling fans are going to believe it. And that's where I think this is coming from. I think this whole bad for the sport. Yeah. Because, of course, people are going to react to it. Because they're going to be like, oh, WWE's mad because Swerve's getting paid what he's worth. Well, you're worth what somebody will pay you. I hate when people say know your – like the phrase know your worth to me is so funny because they say know your worth as in you get to decide what you're worth. But you're worth if someone's willing to pay you. And so know your worth should actually mean be realistic and know what someone's going to be willing to pay you. But saying that Swerve – first of all, I love Swerve. I think Swerve – I've often said that Swerve was like a big miss by WWE, but I don't even know if what Swerve is doing in AEW and his physical stature and all that would work in WWE. I just don't know. But I love what he's been doing. I didn't think he should have lost it all in. I thought he should have retained and got the win over Daniel Bryan Danielson, but I know they want it to be part of the lineage of the title and whatever. It's stupid. I don't care. This is the same company that just finally took win-loss records off their website earlier today, Patrick. Wins and losses don't matter.
You mean wins and losses no longer matter?
They no longer matter.
Thank goodness for that.
Yeah, right. They've tried with the rankings three different times. Now they've removed win loss records from the website. Probably just because they haven't been updating them, and we're like, fuck it, just take them off.
Well, it's an unsustainable model for the world of professional wrestling.
You can sustain it, but you have to just plan differently, and they don't. Right. They're just not smart enough to. So. Yeah, and probably because they want to give people title shots that don't have the records for it.
Most people wouldn't be able to, you know what I mean?
Like, I agree. It would be very difficult, and it just goes outside of the normal storytelling of wrestling.
Right. Very, very much.
You can do it in short spurts, like a G1, like the Continental Classic that AEW did last winter, which was amazing, and I really enjoyed it, and watched more Dynamite and even some Collision during the Continental Classic than, like, ever, because that... I've long said, like, if AEW would rip off the UFC model, I think they could actually be an alternative. But they're not. They're going in the other direction. And that's fine. It's their company. They can do whatever they want. But this whole bad for the sport thing is just, that's like, even if WWE does think it's bad and does drive up salaries in a way they don't want, because they're the corporate business. Corporate business is always trying to control salaries. Corporate, look at the NFL. Like they, you know, the Cowboys haven't paid Dak Prescott yet because of reasons like this. Right. Like, they don't want to see these salaries go up. Now, the NFL, it's the salary is based on the TV deal. It's already gravy. Like, it doesn't matter anyway. And I saw a stat somewhere that WWE's current salaries are only 10% of their revenue. I have no idea if that's true. It probably isn't.
Right. Who knows anything about anybody's true financials?
Especially like, now honestly, that WWE is no longer publicly traded. Well, they are. TKO right. is publicly traded. Never mind. AEW is the one that's not publicly traded. And so we have no idea if anything they say is true.
And that's the other thing is, yeah, they can be like, we're pigs. We're Strickland $11 billion. And
right.
We can just have to believe it.
They also said that Mercedes Moné was making $10 million a year at one point. And she's obviously not.
Okay.
So right. not if she's making Okada, which apparently was a $4 million. I don't even know. But even if Swerve's getting $4.5 million, which is the number I've seen, good for him. He deserves it. And
right.
And he's now signed, I guess, through like 2028 in AEW. Good. I hope they continue to focus on him. I hope they don't drop the ball with him like they've done with so many others. Like,
right. That he hope for all those fade things. Away into obscurity and become an afterthought for months on end. Just out of curiosity, sorry, I got You're bored good. And I went over to the AEW roster page. Uh-huh. I figure I should study up on some of these faces further down the card to learn right. who these folks are. But what's the difference between an international champion and a continental champion?
So, see, it's really funny, Patrick O'Dowd. If you take international and you take continental and you kind of smush them together, what do you get? You get intercontinental.
Right.
Well, so the international champion used to be the All-Atlantic Championship. And then they renamed it the International Championship as part of some partnership with some movie that had nothing to do with anything on that. Because when I went to Dynamite the first time and Orange Cassidy was the international champion, had a great match against Wheeler Yuta and was crazy over. I actually enjoyed Orange Cassidy live way more than I enjoy him on TV. I enjoy all of it live way more than I enjoy on TV because that's how wrestling was intended to be consumed. But it was the All-Atlantic Championship. They eventually renamed it the International Championship. I don't know why they renamed it. I don't even remember it being reported. Then they created the Continental Championship to go to the winner of the Continental Classic, the great tournament that they had back in the winter. Now, at the time, the Continental Classic, Eddie Kingston also put up the Ring of Honor World Championship and the New Japan Strong World Championship. And so whoever won this won, and then they would also win the Continental Championship, therefore winning the modern-day American Triple Crown, as Excalibur was calling it. Then Eddie Kingston, who won the Continental Classic, he then lost the New Japan Strong Championship, lost the Ring of Honor Championship, and lost the Continental Championship, all in separate matches to separate people. And this Triple Crown lasted for like 3 months. And of course, Okada became the Continental Champion, and that's where we're at now.
Gotcha.
But it's stupid. It's very, very stupid. Because then you also have the TNT Championship.
Yep. Well, there's the TNT Championship, which I left out of that. You know, congratulations, Jack Perry. I'm sure it means something. You know, Mercedes got the TBS Championship. Good for her. I don't mind a Trios belt.
No.
Like, Trios titles, I can get behind that. You know, you got your standard tag team champions.
Right.
Surprisingly held by the Young Bucks, because why not? But then, let's see, we've also got the Taz Championship, the FTW
The Taz Championship.
We know what it's called. What else did I see? Like, I'm scrolling through this thing, and like, everybody's holding belts.
It's a lot of belts.
Can I have a belt? Lee Moriarty, he's the ROH Pure Champion. Mark Briscoe's still the ROH World Champion.
He is.
Good for him.
You haven't gotten to the ROH Tag Team Champions yet.
I did. I skipped. I sort of.
Dustin Rhodes and Sammy Rhodes Guevara. And,
yep.
And Dustin Rhodes is also part of the ROH six-man tag team champions. With the Von Erichs.
Underneath his name right there.
With the Von Erichs.
And if you don't have a belt, then you seem to be a part of some sort of group. Yeah.
That's the New Japan. You know, it's the New Japan model. It really is. Like,
it is.
You know, they've got the New Japan Global Championship, the television championship. They've got
it's New Japan, but like the Japanese people aren't in faction. No, because I know Okada's a part of,
right,
of
the Elite.
Yeah, the Elite.
It's just
I froze over Kota Ibushi's name, and he's just, there's Kota Ibushi.
Yeah, well, he didn't do much anyway. I'm sure he'll come back when Omega does and whatever. But like, it is weird because even though you could argue that New Japan has a lot of championships too, it just, they seem to do a better job with them than AEW does. I don't really know. Again, I don't follow as closely. Maybe I need to send Andrew Bellez another text message. But like, New Japan has like the never open weight championship. Like, what is that? I don't know. But what is the TNT championship, the Continental championship, and the International championship? Like, you don't need all three of them. Yeah, I know, right, WWE has the Intercontinental and the United States, but the Intercontinental is specific to Raw. The United States is specific to SmackDown. And it just, it's, and they have that lineage, that history. And they didn't create all these titles, WWE, in their first 5 years of existence either. Like, there was history. Right. They were more spread out when these titles were introduced. Like, there's just a lot of differences. I do think there's room for secondary women's championships in WWE. AEW has both of those in both Ring of Honor and on AEW proper with the Ring of Honor Women's World Television Championship. But yeah, it does seem like it's too many. Like, do you need a Continental and International? Which, the International, they just did a whole angle where MJF won it, rebranded it the American Championship, and then lost it right back to Will Ospreay, so it went back to being the International title. I got it. It worked for me. Yeah. It's whatever.
It's okay.
Okada didn't even defend the Continental title at All In. Like, he was in the gauntlet match they had for a world title shot, where Nigel McGuinness made his triumphant return and then immediately lost.
Yep.
And then Christian Cage won out of nowhere because he needs to be another world title shot. They're about to have Daniel Bryan Danielson versus Christian Cage for the AEW World Championship. Like, this is where we are. And we have this roster of all these great stars, and we're giving Christian Cage another world title shot.
No, it's super important.
It is.
Patriarchy is a great thing.
They are a great thing, and I was surprised that they lost the trio's titles as quickly as they did to the random assortment of Claudio Castagnoli, Wheeler Yuta, and Pac, who now I guess is part of the Black Bull Combat Club, if the Black Bull Combat Club exists, because John Moxley's now off telling Tony Schiavone it's not his company anymore. So I don't know. I don't fucking know.
I'm sitting there, I'm going through again. Who are people I need to give a shit? Whatever happened to Deonna Purrazzo? What is she doing now?
So I think she's still kind of feuding with Thunder Rosa, maybe on Collision. You might actually see her when you go. Okay. But, you know, the whole Mariah May thing took the world by storm in AEW, and deservedly so.
Which I stood corrected on my whole Mariah May assessment.
Well, yeah, I mean, and apparently that was the plan all along, as people will have you know.
It pulled off well.
Having Mercedes Moné as your TBS champion basically makes your world champion the secondary champion. And it leaves no room for the folks like Deonna Purrazzo and others to do anything. And then you still got Athena holding the Ring of Honor Women's Championship for like 47,000 days. And it's like, what are we doing there? So, I mean, Billy Starks has won and lost their TV title in that time frame. So
there's that.
I don't know.
They have 16 people on their broadcast team. Good Lord.
Do they really?
In various iterations. I mean, I'm assuming it's for like different shows and stuff.
Well, yeah. And like, is RJ City one of them?
Because
he just does a podcast.
City is not listed as one.
Interesting. You think
would be? No, it's like, what do we get? Alex Marvez.
Oh, yeah. He does interviews.
Alicia Tau.
She sometimes does interviews. I don't know who that is.
Arcady Ara.
She's Bobby now Cruz. Like a weekend ring announcer. He does some ring announcing for them. And he does Ring of Honor.
Roberts, I know. Yeah, yeah. Justin Roberts is a ring announcer. You know, Excalibur, Jim Ross, Ian Riccoboni, Carlos Carrera. Carlos Probably Carrera works for AEW.
Spanish announced team, yeah.
Yep. Lexi Nair, Isa McGuinness.
Lexi Nair does interviews. That's DDP's daughter, Lexi Nair.
So, oh, good for her.
Yeah.
Satnam Singh?
He does some international broadcasts, I think. Like, I think he's on their India broadcast team. He's also a wrestler.
And then Taz and Schiavone.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, they got a lot. I mean, WWE probably does too, which is a good segue, Patrick O'Dowd. It's a good segue because last night on Raw, ESPN analyst and football commentator guy, Joe Tessitore, made his debut on the Monday Night Raw broadcast team alongside Wade Barrett.
Wait. Let me guess. People are big mad about it.
Oh, people have opinions, Patrick O'Dowd.
Oh, silly.
Ranging guy. From, I thought he was pretty good and a breath of fresh air, to the far more popular, this guy sucks, take him off my TV. Take on Joe Tessitore.
Never change, wrestling fans. Just never change. Like, you sit there and decide that something sucks. Like, after one show, this is the guy's first show?
First show.
On live television?
On live television.
Ever covering professional wrestling?
And they literally had him do an in-ring introduction of himself with Wade Barrett. Like, yeah. They wanted to make a big deal. He's good buddies with Nick Khan, I guess. Like, right. It is what it is.
So I haven't seen him. Right. I haven't watched Raw yet. It is on my DVR. We'll see if that actually happens. What
I've seen most of Raw. I have not seen the whole thing. I thought he was fine. I'm going to steal your word. He was fine. I actually liked his assessment of himself the most. He was asked about it. I guess he did it in the Raw exclusive. And he basically said the person you saw out there was the kid who skipped school to go meet Big John Studd. The kid who used to sit in the audience and root for Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff while everybody else is rooting for Hulk Hogan. Like, and I guess he must be the same age as me because I did that. Like, literally, he was like, what you saw was the fan living out his dream. He was like, my performance was not great. He said it twice. It was not great. I have things to learn, things to work on, but it was my first time. And that's the biggest thing. Like, it's the dude's first night. I would love to go back and see Jim Ross's first time ever calling wrestling.
No, he was amazing and perfect. And
I bet it was worse than Joe Tessitore. I'd love to go back, and we probably can, and see Michael Cole's first time. And people hated Michael Cole for at least a decade.
Hated him for years.
At least a decade. He was the worst thing ever, needed to be gone, and now he's considered to be the greatest of all time. So, I mean, but we're going to fire Joe Tessitore on the first night. I can tell you this much. He's already better than Kevin Patrick was. And Kevin Patrick was there for years. I don't know why they're putting Joe Tessitore with Wade Barrett. It doesn't, like Corey Graves was the play-by-play guy on SmackDown. You put Corey Graves with Kevin Patrick because he wasn't doing very well. You should have put Corey Graves with the new guy in Joe Tessitore to help him come along, because Corey Graves can jump into storytelling mode if need be. He can jump into promo mode if need be, and he's just fine. Instead, we got Corey Graves and Michael Cole on SmackDown, which is like both of your A-plus players. And then you got Joe Tessitore, your new guy, and Wade Barrett, who's a damn good color commentator, but still, he's just a color commentator, with the new guy on Raw. It makes no sense to me whatsoever. But it's not my company. I'm sure they have their reasons. And Cole, for all we know, Michael Cole was there helping Joe Tessitore. We don't know.
Right.
He probably was. And then when Pat McAfee comes back, Cole and McAfee are going to be on Raw again. So I don't even know what the hell's going to happen. Like, moving forward. And then maybe Tessitore will be on SmackDown with Corey Graves. I don't know. I have no fucking clue. Like they're going to be bouncing these announcers around. The biggest things that jumped out at me, people were like, he didn't have as much energy or whatever as Cole and McAfee. Well, Cole and McAfee were like drinking buddies calling wrestling. Like, it's just...
And Cole and McAfee, like... Cole in particular.
He's been there for like 27 years.
That's your career. Of course he knows how to hit a beat on a match, how to get himself a little more amped up and excited. A play-by-play guy in regular sports, football, yes, they can get excited. They can make a game. Like, they can hit their moments and their big beats too. But it's not the same. It's not done the same way. Like, I don't know. Like, let a guy call a few matches. Let him call for 6 months. See if he gets better or changes. Like, let's as we like to say, let it marinate.
Right.
A little bit.
Like, there were little things I noticed. He focused way too much on the city at times. He was like, these people are me. Like, he just, like, that was kind of his crutch, especially when he was doing the live in-ring thing. Like, he definitely wanted to, you could tell he wanted to take some of the attention off of himself. There were times where I felt like I was watching an ESPN college football game, which would make sense. It's Joe Tessitore. I did feel like he talked about the city too much, even on commentary. Little things, too, like when Punk came out, he was like, he's the best in the world. Punk is in Denver. And I'm like, you should say CM Punk is in Denver. Like just little ways he delivered it that I guarantee you Michael Cole was like, you should say CM Punk is in Denver. Like accentuate that more because these people, like their character, like you're dealing with athletes
right.
who have, you know, right. government names. Now you're dealing with characters who have character names. So it's a, and they don't have numbers on their back. Like it's just a little bit different, but he'll make that adjustment. I am 100% confident right. he'll make that. Like
if
I said,
he's the pro we think he is. Yeah.
He's already light years better than probably almost anybody else on their first day. Byron Saxon's first day ever, they literally left him hanging alone because like they had Michael Cole get beat up or whatever. And like he had to go 2 hours, not even knowing he was going to have to. Like Joe Tessitore is definitely in a position to succeed. And I think he will. But that internet backlash, internet whatever. Rob, the genius from Mindless Wrestling Podcast, he responded to my tweet about it, said he thought it was a fresh breath air. He needed Colin McAfee to take it down a notch. I like Colin McAfee. I thought it was good. I thought it works. They're going to be back. It's fine. Like that's I hate when you always use the word fine, but like that's the best way to describe it. You're right. It's fine. It really is fine. Right. We're making a bigger deal out of Joe Tessitore as the raw new play-by-play guy than the 14 million titles Patrick O'Dowd just rattled off that are meaningless in AEW. And that should be way more important than how good or bad Joe Tessitore was in his first day ever.
We could do this with the WWE too, because I would argue that some of their titles kind of meaningless.
I don't know. I don't know if I could argue that. Maybe the women's tag team titles, but that's about it.
Who's the U.S. champ right now?
L.A. Knight.
And what's he doing?
Well, he beat Logan Paul at SummerSlam. He's already had one defense against Santos Escobar and another one against Ludwig Kaiser in Germany. So,
oh, those changed everything. You're right.
They
USA
did.
U.S. title back on the map. My bad. sorry.
Go ahead. Braun Breaker's Intercontinental Champion. They're having a tournament to determine his next challenger.
Oh, boy. Here, that one actually makes me a little sad because, one, we all knew this was going to happen after Gunther held that belt for so fucking long. The Sami Zayn win was going to be the peak Intercontinental title for a while.
Right.
And now, you know, Braun, I'm really disappointed that they're at a dearth of what to do about Braun Breaker to do, let's have a number one contenders tournament, which one feels kind of lazy because again, it feels like you didn't know what you needed, what you could do. And somebody's going to win that tournament just to lose to Braun Breaker. That seems dumb. Not dumb. Dumb is the wrong way to say it. Lazy. Like, I just wish there was a different way for somebody to earn that shot. As opposed to, I won a tournament.
They do that too much now. They really do.
Right.
My problem is, I didn't want Braun Breaker to win the Intercontinental title. And the main reason I didn't want him to win the Intercontinental title was because he was the man of mayhem, wreaking havoc everywhere. And now he's backstage cutting promos saying, yeah, come fight me. Like, I wasn't done with that Braun Breaker yet. And so I didn't need him to be Intercontinental champion.
Actually, yeah, it's funny. You should have him continue. Like, now he has a belt. And now he still continues to do mayhem because he can. Like,
right.
That's what he should be doing.
And instead,
he sets up nicely for someone to try and be like the stand-up beacon sort of dude to stop him and take that belt away from him.
Exactly. And whoever wins his tournament's not beating him for the title. Like, no. It's way too soon. But that's what we do, way too much of that. I used to complain because the WrestleMania, like both WrestleMania title shots were Royal Rumble winner, Elimination Chamber winner. Like, use one of them to tell a story. Like you don't need every single challenger to be determined in a match. Like, you can determine our challengers other ways. Like, Solo Sikoa didn't win a match to get his match against Cody Rhodes at SummerSlam. And now Sami Zayn's about to challenge Gunther for the world title. Like, that's what they introduced last night on Raw. So, he's going to lose that, and then who knows what's going to happen. There is talk, Patrick O'Dowd, this wasn't even on my list. There is talk that Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, their contracts are up this year.
Uh-oh.
And someone was trying to spread the rumor that WWE had no intention of renewing Kevin Owens' contract, which is got to be bullshit.
Okay.
I'm going to be perfectly honest with you right now. I would not be surprised, nor would I be upset, if sometime in December or January, Kevin Steen and El Generico showed up in AEW. I really wouldn't. For the same reason, like Kevin Owens recently said in an interview, he was not surprised that the Young Bucks and that Cody Rhodes lashed onto the Young Bucks when he went to the Indies because of how well the Young Bucks are doing. Like, he's buddies with the Young Bucks. Like, right. For him to go, first of all, if he makes more money, great. He could work less, great. What are you going to do with Sami Zayn now? Like, he's probably peaked in his career with beating Gunther at WrestleMania. Even Sami Zayn himself said, like, Triple H has his plans, and if you're not part of him, you're not part of him. You know, and he has a lot of long-term plans.
That's true for wrestling, though.
Yeah, it is.
True before. Like, creative has nothing for you. I mean, credit where credit's due. Sami knows the game.
Of course
Sami
he does.
Knows the game.
And like, if they were to go to,
they could do over it.
And if they were to go to AEW and they were selling their shirts on Pro Wrestling Tees, like, these guys are going to do great. And if they're happy, like, would I miss them? I actually would miss them. Like, I enjoy them. But might it get me to watch an episode of Dynamite? Probably, just to see them. I would. I don't know how many I would watch, but I would.
Maybe Kevin Owens' debut.
The problem there is that you're bringing Kevin Steen and El Generico to AEW, but you're not bringing WWE producing with them. Like, it's, and that's the big problem with anybody going to AEW most of the time. It'll be interesting to follow that story as the year progresses.
For Zayn than Owens.
Yes and no. I mean, look at Orange Cassidy. Like, Orange Cassidy has been used as a big star in AEW. I think they could use Sami Zayn as El Generico, which they probably would. And he'd probably have fun with it. Like, or maybe he doesn't want to be El Generico ever again. Who knows? You just never know. But if they go there, they make money and they have fun, great. More power to them. I think, you know, both are 40 or pushing 40 if they're not already over 40. Like, I think both would be great on commentary. Like, especially Sami Zayn, he'd be great on commentary. Who knows? And I don't know what either person wants for themselves. They both live in Canada since, you know, they left Orlando after they got called up to the main roster. Who knows? I have no idea. But it's not going to bother. I'm not going to be like, oh my God, WWE dropped this ball or whatever if they leave. And they're big stars for WWE, and they've main evented multiple. They have three WrestleMania main events between the two of them. Like, they've had amazing, tremendous careers. But if they go, they go. There's far more talents that could go that would be, you know, her. I'd be more upset if Trick Williams went to AEW than if Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn went to AEW. Because he's the future. He's the guy who's going to main event WrestleMania 47. Right? That's what WWE's thinking about right now. They're good. They're good. They still have Randy Orton. They still have Roman Reigns. They have Cody Rhodes. They have all this talent. Cody just signed a new deal. They just recently signed Damian Priest to a new deal. Like, they have all this talent. They're good for the next few years. So if they lose a Kevin Owens and a Sami Zayn, they're going to be all right. And that's kind of what drives me a little crazy. But is what it is. Let's take a second commercial break, and then we got a fun one.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask New People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask New People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
This is your boy, Kenny Killer, telling you to make sure you check out TheChairShot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore. Everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
All right, gentlemen, you have 3 minutes, and you better make it good.
We got 3 minutes, and we're out of here. The clock is ticking, and we're in the clear. We got 3 minutes, and we're out of here. We got 3 minutes, and we're out.
Patrick O'Dowd, one of our favorite characters in the world of professional wrestling, surfaced again today in the news with the headline, former WWE star Vince McMahon, quote unquote, called a hit on me on national television. And I'm assuming you've seen the article that I sent you, Patrick O'Dowd.
Oh, I read it. I read it today.
Who, as a New Day would say, who made this bold claim?
Who made the bold claim? You mean,
yes,
Mr. Loki?
Bitch. 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 Bitch.
Mr. Loki made the claim.
Independent wrestling star and NXT Season 2 winner Loki.
Oh yeah, that is how they phrased it in the thing. Even the headline said WWE star, because that's the headline. Right. That's what we got to do. Loki recalls a controversial segment after winning Season 2 of NXT. When I won NXT, that was supposed to be my moment. I got jumped by the other 7 guys. Nobody told me that was coming, which was the reason why I fought back and almost tried to break Titus O'Neil's arm with an arm bar. He goes, he was attacked by Husky Harris, who later became Bray Wyatt, who I thought was in the other season of NXT, but I'm totally wrong. He took Titus O'Neil down, almost broke his arm, and Kofi Kingston, MVP, and John Morrison tried to make the save. Referees rushed to the ring soon after and began talking to Kingston and MVP, who ultimately left ringside. The beating then continued, said Loki. The referees are telling them Vince said stand down. So Vince called a hit on me on national television. And then the segment ended with him taking a bunch of finishers. And of course, that later that year, he gets released. Whatever. And he's talked about he had a lot of issues with Vince McMahon, always attributing them to the fact that McMahon was not a wrestler. And I would say that's why Vince McMahon never built a successful wrestling dynasty, because he was never a wrestler. I would say that, low-key. I think you're right. Now, I do love the fact that this article, I do appreciate, says, however, other performers in the industry, including Jeff Jarrett, Conan, and Dutch Mantel, have described Loki as being difficult to work with. On the most recent episode of his podcast, Mantel said, Loki was, I think, his own worst enemy. I really do. and I like the guy. We've often said on this show years ago, because Loki hasn't been relevant for a very, very long time. The biggest mark for Loki is Loki. And as a, you've got to advocate for yourself in wrestling, and you've got to be a fan of yourself and believe in your abilities. But we talked about earlier off air, that phrase self-awareness. And I don't know that Loki always had a good sense of self-awareness, because if it were up to him, he would never would have lost. When Kurt Angle came into WWE, he didn't want to lose. He was like, I'm an Olympic medalist. But thankfully, he got smart. And look at the career he had. He literally was an Olympic gold medalist who went on to be a WWE Hall of Famer and is now more known for his WWE career than his Olympic career, which was also amazing. Low-key has had a good career, but I think it's always going to be a what could have been, because he wanted to be booked in a way. He wanted to be a monster. He wanted to be a 5 foot 660 pound monster. And that just doesn't work. Like, the only really small monster I've ever seen actually work is Taz.
Right.
That's it. And he was short and big. Like, Loki was too sleek.
Taz was built like a fucking bowling ball.
Exactly.
Like, that dude was a, like, looked. And here's the thing. I'm 98% sure that in real life, in a dark alley, Loki is going to fuck me up.
I believe probably 100%, yeah.
Right.
I guess the other 2%, because he could slip on a banana peel and hit his head on a dumpster.
You know, like, I actually hit him with the shot of the gun, with the gun, like, you know, something like that. So, like, I get it. I get who you think you are. And then I have to remind myself so often that, and this is kind of goes into some of the other people who talk about professional wrestling and what they expect to be good. The little guy in professional wrestling is rarely the man working with an advantage. They're usually the underdog. And even in your AEWs of the world, if you're on a national stage, the little guy, and by little, I just mean the smaller guy, I don't care how great of shape you're in. I don't care how strong you're in. I don't care how fast you are. The story is always that you're small and have to overcome the big guys. Like, it's just always what it is. And that's...
Loki, and the story still works.
Right. And Loki, I'm sorry, if you were 6'5", and your muscle mass was proportionate to your size, as it was in your smaller frame, yeah, you could probably be a monster. That's unbeatable. As it is, you aren't. You get to work strong style and fast with guys your size, and that's kind of your wheelhouse. Mm-hmm. And it's not a knock on you as a performer. But you should expect to lose to bigger dudes. You just should. You should expect to lose every once in a while. Like, to more people than, you know, Marufuji or Kenta. Like, Kenta, sorry. You should expect to lose to more than that.
And furthermore,
how hard you can kick.
Don't sign with WWE and then expect them to not be WWE. Especially back then.
WWE storyline.
Especially back then. And this is, you know, people wanted to see Kenny Omega in WWE for years. Like, and they wanted to add a convenience. But, like, you may not have gotten the same guy because it's WWE. Like, you got to realize, you got to know who you're working for. And I'm sorry, no matter how great you are on the indies, you're not going to be the guy who changes WWE. If Daniel Bryan Danielson couldn't change WWE, now he got his push, he had his moments, all of that, but it's still WWE in the end. If he couldn't do it, none of y'all can. Like, it's just not going to be a thing. Like, these are still larger-than-life athletes, and you got to find a way to be larger-than-life, and you just never... I seriously doubt when Daniel Bryan Danielson joined WWE, he thought he was going to have long hair, scraggly beard, and chant yes all day.
No.
And that was going to get him his WrestleMania main event, which, by the way, he was doing it All In 10 years later. It was, you know, Hair's a little better kept and the beard's not as long. He's chanting yes with all the fans, which they brought back as part of the build of this match at All In because they wanted what they thought would be 80,000 people chanting yes, and it turned out to be 46,000 people chanting yes. Which, by the way, that number came out today, the turnstile number for All In, 46,000.
Solid.
No, it's amazing. Fuck solid. No, that's amazing. Any wrestling company that can draw 46,000 people.
No, Greg. Sinking ship.
It's and I know it didn't beat either night of WrestleMania and whatever. And WWE lies about attendance. They don't lie about attendance. They give attendance, which is everybody in the building. They're very open about that fact. Just because you don't like it, you wrestling fan, doesn't mean it's bad. But the turnstile number for All In is 46,000 people. I don't know what Wrestle Kingdom drew
from the previous year.
Oh yeah, previous year the turnstile number of the previous year was like 76 or 73 or something like that. So yeah, it went down. Every AEW major event has gone down year after year. Look at Grand Slam.
Right.
It was 20,000 the first year.
All in with 72,265.
Yeah, so it went down 29,000 people. But it's still 46,000 people in a building watching wrestling. Like, I think WWE's Australia show was more. So, and then Wrestle Kingdom might have been more. I don't know what the Wrestle Kingdom number was. So it sounds like we got potentially a top five gate for the year in terms of attendance. I love making fun of AEW. I love shitting on Tony Khan. They give us plenty of reasons to do it. This isn't one of them, in my opinion. I have no problems whatsoever with a $46,000 or 46,000 person attendance for any wrestling event anywhere in the world by any company. And I tweeted that and someone was like, you can't treat AEW like it's an indie. Tony Khan has hundreds of millions of dollars. I'm like, first of all, I didn't say it was an indie. I said any company, any size, anywhere in the world. You're just mad because I'm not shitting on AEW at that moment. Trust me, I will shit on AEW at some point this week.
As a man who shits on AEW quite a bit.
Yeah. But again, I do it when it's warranted.
Yeah.
I shit on WWE when it's warranted. There is a WWE take that I've been holding back, and I will continue to hold back for a very good reason that I will tell you off air. And because I won't say it publicly because I don't want to deal with it. But it's true. But AEW, 46,000 people at All In, bravo. SummerSlam was probably more. Probably right around the same. WrestleMania was more. So maybe it's not top five because WWE had the event in Australia. I don't know what Wrestle Kingdom. I'll look it up.
Who cares where
it's amazing.
Top 10. It's still 46,000 people came to your wrestling show.
The problem they run into is that AEW is going to tell you it was over 50. And they're going to tell you that it was, you know, they also tell you that All In last year was the most attended wrestling event in the history of wrestling, all whatever. But, you know, Korea exists, so you can't say that. It is a sport because Swerve's contract is bad for the sport. Everything is bad for the sport because it's not a sport. So that just pissed me off when I saw that and wanted to bring that up because that pissed me off in a positive way for AEW because it's amazing and should be praised and people should be happy about it. So, and that's it. That's it for the show. We're good.
That's the tweet.
It's been an hour. It's been 60 minutes. We appreciate you listening. Next week, we got more for you because the world of professional wrestling is a gift that keeps on giving, including things like Swerve's contract being bad for the business and AEW drawing 46,000 people and people complaining about it. And if you're going to complain about AEW drawing 46,000 people, there's only one word to describe you. And I'm not going to spell it out because I'm not Enzo and Cash.
Bitch.
Awesome.
I came to.
Acknowledge me.
TheChairShot.com.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
A new year, time for new growth. Grow your education and skills with Herzing University. Our online behavioral health programs fit your schedule and time. From an 8-month diploma program in health and human services to a 36-month bachelor's in psychology. Grow your behavioral health career with us wherever you are in your education. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Visit us online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109. Online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this act, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.